Hello, this is WGN Radio Theater. It is 6 minutes after 1 o'clock in the morning, Lisa, and this is our Halloween show. We have less than an hour, but I thought we'd get right in to, unless we got to go to commercials, can we go right into the dark? Let's play something for you for Halloween, folks. Thanks for staying up with us. Lisa's here. Hi, Lisa.
I'm here. I was going to say thank you so much for waiting for us. We're back, and we'll be with you for the next hour.
We're going to play Mystery House with Bela Lugosi in a few minutes. But before that, I thought we'd listen to a very special, about 8 minute, it's a very spooky radio show called The Dark. Take a listen.
Hey, where are you turning?
The alarm's at Pine Street, didn't it?
Doc? Oh, yes, yes, of course. So why the siren? The only traffic out here is on horseback.
Yeah. Yeah, you can say that again, Doc. It's from nothing to nowhere.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, right with you, Doc. Right with you. Said somebody was hurt?
That's what the switchboard said.
What a dump. Huh. Don't seem to be a bell.
Oh, there must be. There's a light in there. Try the door.
Yeah, it's open.
Well, let's go.
All right.
Hello in there. Hello. This is another false alarm. Anybody here? I'm a doctor.
Hey, look. In the corner. This I gotta see.
Lady, I'm a doctor from General Hospital. Now, what's the matter?
She is screwy, all right, ain't she?
Frightened.
Come on, Doc. You want us to get her out of here? Or the straitjacket. Should I get the straitjacket? No, Doc, wait. Where are you going?
Can't get it open.
Huh? What's the matter? What do you want to go in there for?
Can't get this open.
Okay.
Whoever is hurt must be in there. Blasted door. Come on, we'll break it down.
But the woman.
Forget the woman. Come on, put your shoulder to it. Come on.
Yeah, all right.
It's dark.
Yeah.
Can't see a thing.
Go on back in the other room and get that kerosene lamp.
Well, I
get it, I say.
Yeah, I get it. Hey, Doc. The lamp.
Okay. Hold it high.
Yeah?
What? Oh, Mother in Heaven.
What? On the floor. What is it?
It's a man.
Oh, no. It can't be.
Yes, I tell you, yes, it's a man. A man. And he's been turned inside out.
Inside out?
Yes. See for yourself. It's a man. But the skin is the inside. The raw flesh is the outside. Organs hanging.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. A man turned inside out. Like you turn a glove inside out.
It's alive. It's alive.
I see it, I see.
Alive?
Yes.
Doc, it's trying to get up.
Oh, no.
Trying to get up, I tell you. It's trying to move.
Sam, hold that light high.
I can't watch. Look at it rolling over. Trying to get up.
Stop that.
Look, trying to get up on its knees. Doc, make it stop. Kill it. Do something.
Sam, stop.
Man can't live inside out like that. I tell you.
Stop. Hysterical old woman, it's what you are. Now you stand there and shut up.
Listen to him. Oh, let's get out of here, Doc, please.
Don't be a fool. We've got to find out, Sam. What? Look, there's another door.
Yeah. Open.
The answer might be in there.
Doc, don't. We got
the lantern. Bring it.
Gee, Doc, why can't we just go?
Hold it high.
Doc, what?
Don't move. There's no floor in there.
I don't see nothing. Nothing but dark.
Well, look. The dark sort of spills over on the edges.
Huh?
Well, look, I tell you. It's a deeper dark than dark. Something moving in there.
Doc, close the door.
No, no, wait.
Then I'll close it.
Oh, you fool, open that door. I've got to see what... She's coming in here.
Come on, Doc. Let's get out of here.
No, Sam, I'm going to find out what this is all about. All my life, things have been what they've been. I'm going to know all about this.
Please, Doc, please, let's get out of here.
Woman, if you know anything, tell me. What was it we saw back of that door where the floor should have been? Do you know?
She's going to the door. She's going to open it.
Yes.
Oh, Doc, will you listen to me? Let's get out of here.
No, now wait. She's just standing there, looking into the dark.
Yeah. Doc, what's that coming up out of the hole in the floor?
The dark.
It's like black smoke. Listen to it. It's reaching up to her.
Yes.
What is it? Smoke? Black? What?
Crawling up around her. No.
Inside out. It turned her inside out. Inside.
Sam. Sam, get up. Sam, open your eyes. The shadows are crawling along the floor toward us. Come on, Sam. Come on. Sam, you're too heavy. I can't lift you. Sam, you've got to hear me. The shadows, they're crawling toward me along the floor. I can't leave you here. You saw what they did to her. Look at her. Inside out. A woman inside out. Oh, Sam. I'll drag you out of here. Oh, you're so heavy. They're coming faster and faster. Like long black fingers. Ah, my legs. Let go of me. Sam, I can't help you. They're holding me back. The black. It's covering you. Sam! Sam. No. No, you thing, whatever you are, get off me. Stop covering me. I've got to get out of here. I've got to tell them all about you. I've got to tell everyone there's something like you loose in the world. Got to warn everybody. Get off me. Cold. Slimy. How can shadows be slimy? So cold. Covering me over. My head. My face. My face. My mouth. The cold.
Happy Halloween, everyone. You know, Lisa, if I was directing that little vignette of Lights Out the Dark, I would have cast you as the cackling woman there. You could have done that, too.
I was doing
good
it
at that.
Right.
She's
here
good
in the studio.
And she's very good.
A natural-born witch, huh?
No, but you're an excellent actress. You could have played that part perfectly.
The cackler?
The cackling woman
it
there. All right. In just a few minutes, we're going to play a Bela Lugosi radio show called The Thirsty Death on Mystery House. Don't go away. Right, Lisa?
Right, Carl. If you said it, it must be true, Carl.
All right, so this is our Halloween show. It's a very shortened version.
A short
but
one, but a good one.
You know
one
what? Next week we'll be up at full power again from 11 till 2 in the morning every Saturday and Sunday. But, you know, Cubs are on a roll. They won last night, and they're going to play again Tuesday. Jake Arrieta's going, so I'm feeling pretty good about it, Lisa. All right, it's time for Mystery House, and this was an interesting radio show. It never made it to the airwaves. This is a pilot episode that was never broadcast. You know, Bela Lugosi was a very popular movie star. He, of course, was Count Dracula. And radio producers were like, let's get Bela Lugosi to do a radio series. So they created this series called Mystery House that he was going to star in. And they just said, well, let's do a pilot album, you know, a record of it, and we'll try to sell it. Well, never sold. But we do have that episode. It's called The Thirsty Death. Bela Lugosi stars along with John Carradine in this. And at the time, they were starring in a movie, a kind of a B-movie called, maybe even a C-movie, called The Ape Man. They were in that together, and they said, let's get both of those guys to do this recording. And Lorene Tuttle is in this cast, too. This is called The Thirsty Death. It was recorded July 3rd, 1944. Here's part one of Mystery House.
This is Bela Lugosi welcoming you to Mystery House.
Mystery House, starring Bela Lugosi. Mystery House, where live again the stories of the greatest mystery theater the world has ever known, the Grand Guignol of Paris. Mystery House, where tonight the distinguished actor John Carradine joins Bela Lugosi in presenting The Thirsty Death. Good evening, folks. This is Ken Carpenter. If I sound a little nervous, it's not really my fault. I'm usually a pretty steady guy, calm as anyone, but, well, this is asking too much. Bela Lugosi alone is enough to scare you. John Carradine isn't exactly soothing to your nerves, but put them together in a story set in darkest Africa with mad dogs howling in the background and, whew, well, find out for yourself.
Rises on The Thirsty Death, starring Bela Lugosi and his guest at Mystery House, John Carradine. Do you hear those native drums? Do you know what they're saying? Yves Plazon does. That is why her heart is pounding to the mounting cadence of those ceaseless drums. That's why she's hurrying faster, faster, hurrying through the North African forest in the oppressive heat of this humid afternoon. And that is why Malad, her native houseboy, follows unwillingly, his eyes rolling fearfully in their wide sockets.
Malad, faster! Walk faster!
Missus, please, better we go by.
Don't talk such nonsense.
But, Missus, Thirsty Death walks. All around us is Thirsty Death. You hear, Missus? Do you hear?
Oh, stop gibbering like a frightened child.
No.
And anyway, we've gone too far to turn back now.
No.
We're almost halfway to the village.
No, better we go back. Better we... go back.
Malad! Malad, don't leave me here alone. Malad! Malad! Let me in. Open the door and let me in.
Eve, it is you.
René.
I couldn't believe my own ears. Come in, come in.
Oh, I had no idea this was your house, René. I knew you lived somewhere near here, but...
What happened?
I was on my way to the village when Malad, my houseboy, became frightened and ran away. There was a mad dog somewhere near.
Well, so I have something to thank the epidemic for, after all. Who would have thought back in Paris that we should meet again like this?
Oh, René, please.
Yes, forgive me. I was so taken away at seeing you. But sit down. Let me pour you some water.
Oh, thank you.
Here, drink. Not so fast, Eve. You'll make yourself ill.
More, please.
Well, just a little more will be all right, I suppose.
I never knew before what the thirst could mean.
And imagine those poor devils out there, hundreds of them who have hydrophobia. Eve, whatever induced you to set foot outside your door?
Oh, it was foolhardy of me, I know. But my husband had to leave for the coast to be gone at least a week. And the prospect of being shut in all alone, except for my terrified houseboy.
Yes, the natives are in a dreadful panic. My own houseboy, Gildas, ran off and deserted me yesterday. But you say you were on your way to the village.
Well, perhaps you know the Chabours. I was going to stay with them until Francois, my husband, returned.
Eve... Are you happy with him?
Him? You mean my husband? Of course we're happy, very happy.
Then why, when I first learned who the new doctor and his wife were, did you send back word by Gildas that I would not be welcome in your home?
Because
you were afraid that seeing me might rekindle our love? Wasn't that it?
No, Rene. It's because Francois is such a jealous husband.
Middle-aged men with beautiful young wives usually are.
Well, I'm rested now. I must be on my way to the village if I'm to make it by nightfall.
But you can't go out there again.
I must. Oh! Rene, you loved me once.
I love you still.
Then go with me. Take me to the village.
Very well. But you're still tired. Rest a bit longer, and then we'll start.
Strange, isn't it, Rene, that fate should bring us together again like this?
Strange and wonderful. And doesn't it prove something to you, Eve? When you sent me away back there in Paris, because your parents wished you to marry this Dr. Plassin, I chose the farthest, most inaccessible, most uncivilized spot I could think of.
And yet, here I am, too.
Eve.
With my husband.
Does he know that you were once in love with another? With me?
With another, yes. But I'm not sure. Those dogs.
You set one spine a-tingling. But I'll have my gun, of course.
Francois was telling me about the Boivin child. Hydrophobia turned him into such a snarling, howling, frothing beast. They had to smother him between two mattresses.
Oh, it's a ghastly disease. And yet there are fools, criminal fools, who refuse to obey the order that all dogs be killed. I didn't hesitate to kill all four of my pets. Eve, why do you suddenly look at me like that?
Oh, nothing.
There's a dog in your home, isn't there?
Yes.
But that's sheer folly.
Francois refuses to do away with him. That's another reason why I couldn't bear to remain home. I was afraid.
What manner of man is this husband of yours?
Well, he says he needs the dog for experiments. Please, Rene, we mustn't delay any longer. It gets dark so suddenly out here.
Very well. I'll get my gun.
Rene.
What's the matter?
Somebody's outside.
Probably Gildas, that fool houseboy of mine, coming back at last.
No, it's...
Eve, who was it you said you saw just through the windows? Why do you...
My husband.
Your husband? But I thought you said...
He mustn't find me here, Rene. He's so insanely jealous, he'll think... He mustn't find me here.
Wait, go upstairs. There's a bedroom.
All right.
Who's there? Oh, good evening.
Good evening, monsieur. I'm Dr. Plaisant.
Oh, the new doctor. Well, won't you come in?
Thank you.
I am René Bramont.
Yes, I've heard of you. I think that back in Paris we had a mutual friend.
You must be mistaken, my dear doctor. I am from Marseille.
So?
Oh, sit down. I'll pour you a glass of Lancet.
Well, you are an obliging host.
To your health, Dr. Plaisant.
And yours, Monsieur Bremont. Splendid liqueur. And I must say, a comfortable place you have here.
Thank you, Doctor.
This, I presume, is your living room. Where do you sleep?
There's a room at the head of the stairs.
No other rooms in the lodge?
No, it's a very small place.
Just the kind of place that would appeal to my wife. We're thinking of building next year, and if you don't mind, I like to take a look at the bedroom.
No. I'd rather you didn't.
Oh. The bedroom is occupied, perhaps?
Of course not. I'm here all alone.
Then?
Well, doctor, I might as well confess.
Yes?
Gildas, my houseboy, deserted me yesterday. Well, the bedroom is in a frightful mess. I must ask you to wait until some other time to see it.
As you wish.
And now, doctor, at the risk of seeming a rude host, I must remind you that it will soon be dark.
You think I should be on my way?
After all, Dr. Plaisant, you of all people should be aware of the menace that lurks in the forest. There are still mad dogs loose, and after dark...
Oh, yes. Those mad dogs. And me completely out of serum.
Out of serum? Good heavens! Can't you get some more?
The whole district has run out. I intended leaving for the coast today to get a supply, but...
Yes?
But something very significant, came to my attention. So I sent someone else.
Doctor, it's such a long trip. Why, this means that for at least a week, every case of hydrophobia in this district must necessarily be fatal.
Yes, monsieur. And what ghastly cases we had. Death so horrible that even I, who have seen so much of death, was utterly revolted.
Why? And yet you are so rash as to keep a dog in your own house.
What's that, monsieur? What's that? You know I have a dog? Then she told you.
She? I don't know who you mean.
Who told you?
Gildas, my houseboy, Gildas. You know how these natives chatter. He heard it from your houseboy.
A most unusual servant, that Gildas. First leaves your bedroom a frightful mess so that I can't see it. And now he tells you about the dog.
Dr. Passan, you must do away with the dog. It's too dangerous. Why, just think if your wife...
Your solicitude for my wife's safety touches me deeply, Monsieur Grimaud. Too bad she couldn't be along with me on this visit.
Yes, it is.
But perhaps we shall all three be together quite soon. Goodbye, monsieur.
Goodbye, doctor. Yeah.
Eve, you can come down now.
Oh, Renee. Oh, I was so frightened. I can hardly stand.
You're pale as a ghost. Here, sit down.
I thought he'd never go. When he asked to see the bedroom,
Eve, he knew you were here.
You think so?
His very manner in asking to see the bedroom. And his reaction when I forgot myself and spoke of the dog.
Yes, yes. I tried to tell myself otherwise, but I know it's true. Didn't he even speak of a mutual friend in Paris? He meant me.
Of course.
He knows we were once sweethearts. And now, the way things happen...
Don't, Eve, don't. I can't bear to see you like this. And what if he does know? You've done no wrong. God knows you've been a faithful wife.
But I told you how jealous Francois is. He'll never believe the truth, never.
What kind of a devil is he? That you should cower and cringe before him.
Oh, you don't know what he's capable of.
Then why don't you divorce him? You don't love him, you never have.
He'd never consent to a divorce. He's told me so.
Then leave him anyway. Eve, darling, come away with me. Come away to the other end of the earth. I'll make you happy. I swear I will. Everything that we once hoped and dreamed together...
Oh, Renee, don't, please. You're only making me feel worse. As long as I'm his wife, I couldn't.
Yes. I suppose I knew that.
Look, night has closed in already. We've got...
Eve, what's the matter? If I hadn't caught you then, you'd have fallen.
Oh, it's just nerves. I'll be all right. We've got to start for the village at once, Renee.
But you're in no condition to ever make it, Eve. Do you realize how far it is?
Yes, but I...
Those mad dogs prowling in the blackness of the forest?
But I can't stay here.
Why not? You can have the bedroom upstairs. I'll sleep down here on the couch.
Do you think he'd ever believe that?
Listen, I have an idea. Why didn't I think of it before? Some friends of mine, an elderly couple, have a place down by the river. I'll take you there at dawn. They'll say you were here you were there all the time.
You really think they will?
Positive. And Eve, we were probably wrong about your husband knowing you were here. We just imagined things. Everything's going to turn out all right.
All right, that's the first portion of The Thirsty Death, starring Bela Lugosi and also John Carradine there from 1944. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll have news, and then the... All right, welcome back. Thanks for staying up late with us. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, Lisa Wolf, and then Elif Garris, our producer in the studio. And we are, this is Halloween. This is our Halloween show. Of course, this isn't Halloween music, but that's okay. Remember, you had Monster Mash a couple of weeks ago.
I know.
We're listening to Mystery House,
just
Bela Lugosi.
Off over there.
In The Thirsty Death. Let's tune in to the conclusion now of Mystery House.
Renee!
What is it? What's the matter?
Oh, Renee. Oh, I had such a such a terrible nightmare. I woke up screaming.
Poor thing. Why, you're actually trembling.
What time is it?
Well, as a matter of fact, we'd have had to get up soon anyway. It's just about dawn.
Well, then if you don't mind, I'll go back downstairs with you. I hate to be alone.
Sure thing. I'll start right in fixing breakfast.
I had a restless night, too. Wouldn't
be a bit surprised if I was going to have another bout of malaria.
My head's spinning. And I ache all over.
Sit down. I'll light the lamp.
Yes, too. It's eerie blackness.
Here's a match.
Oh, there. The light from the lamp makes me feel better already. I can almost laugh at my horrible dream now.
Was it about the dogs?
Yes, about the little dog Nero that my husband refused to kill. I dreamed that right before my eyes, the dog changed into the shadowy figure of a man.
No wonder you woke up screaming.
But that was only the beginning of the dream. It seemed to me that I woke up there in the bedroom upstairs, and the shadowy figure was leaning over me. I was so paralyzed with fright, I couldn't move.
And then what happened?
And then I heard this thing go out of my room and close the door. Then it seemed to me that I lay there an eternity, trying to scream, but unable to utter a sound. Finally, I found my voice.
Eve.
Renee, you do look ill. I hadn't noticed before how...
Eve, I had a strange dream, too. I also dreamed that a shadowy figure was moving about in here.
No.
And then I dreamed the figure went out and barred the doors and windows from the outside.
Renee, look. The windows are barred.
Yes.
Quick, the door, test it.
Well, we must still be dreaming. It can't be. It's true. The door is locked and barred from the outside. Whoever you are there, open the door.
We've got to get out of here. We've got to get out of here.
Well, I hope you're not frightened yet, because this isn't anything. Wait till you hear Bela Lugosi and John Carradine in the second act of The Thirsty Death. And wait till you hear those howling dogs. We left Eve Plaisant and Rene Bermond beating senselessly on the barred door. The barred door which keeps them prisoners there in the Bermond's lodge, remote in the North African forest. As we return to them now in the ghostly dawn, they are still hammering their fists on the door in a fit of panic, still shouting hopelessly for help.
Stop, Eve! Stop! Stop it, Eve! We're behaving like panicky children. We've got to be calm. We've got to think this thing through like rational human beings.
Calm, Renee? Rational?
Yes, of course. We wake up and find the door and windows barred from the outside. Now, is that any reason to give way to terror?
Shadowy figure, Renee. He must have had a purpose. A ghastly purpose.
Nonsense. He only existed in your imagination. And I dare say you transplanted him to mine. For all we know, Gildas may have done this just as a joke.
You don't really believe that, Renee?
Certainly I do. Or if it wasn't Gildas, maybe it was some native with a twisted sense of humor.
Oh, Renee, we've got to get out of here.
Naturally, and it shouldn't be very difficult if we use our heads. Now then, let's see. Why, of course. I have a hatchet over here in the drawer.
Oh, Renee.
Gone.
Renee, he took it. Whoever locked us in took it.
Now, don't get hysterical again. I can always fire my revolver. Maybe it might help that way.
Well, then hurry, hurry.
Let's see. The cartridges are over here in the other drawer. No.
Cartridges. They're gone, too.
Yes. They're gone, too.
Renee, the door. Somebody's there.
It's opening. Dr. Plaisant.
Ah, good morning, Monsieur Beaumont. And Eve, my dear wife. Aren't you happy to see your devoted husband again?
You locked us in, didn't you?
Yes, it was you.
Stand where you are, monsieur. I shall feel impelled to use my gun.
Dr. Plaisant, what sort of comedy do you think you're playing?
A romantic one, but only as a supporting player. I am sure you'll be the first to admit that.
Oh, no, Francois. It isn't true what you're thinking.
We can explain everything if you'll only give us a chance.
Yes. I'm sure it would be a most ingenious alibi.
You blind, stupid, jealous fool. I demand that you let us out of here at once.
Let you out? Oh, no. I couldn't do that. It would be criminal.
Criminal?
Decidedly, you are dangerous.
What riddles are you speaking now?
Not riddles, facts.
Oh, he's gone mad, completely mad.
No, my dear wife, I'm not mad, but unfortunately, it will soon be impossible to say the same about one of you.
What?
Which one?
Me, perhaps. And then again, perhaps it is she. Who knows?
What are you talking about?
Tell us what you have to say and be done with it.
Very well, Monsieur Brimond. Remember telling me that I ought to have killed my little dog? What about it? I have been forced to follow your advice, Monsieur. You see, the dog had become rabid.
Oh.
But what has that to do with us?
Patience. Patience. What will interest you particularly is that last night, after I killed the poor dog, I filled my hypodermic needle with its saliva.
With its saliva?
Yes, its saliva, brimming with hydrophobia. And then I came back here. Came back all the way through the forest. Came back with my hypodermic needle.
That was really you. You that I saw leaning over my bed.
And then you injected the needle into me. You monster! You infected us both!
No, no, not both. Just one of you. Don't you remember my saying?
Well, which one?
Which one did you infect?
Was it me?
Or me, in the name of heaven, man?
Very soon you'll find out. But very soon, the one who is infected will begin to feel the symptoms. You are quite unmistakable, I assure you. First, just a general feeling of sickness, steadily growing worse.
Then I'm the one. I woke up feeling ill.
And what about me? I thought it was malaria.
Next will come that awful, crucifying thirst. And then the final stage, the transformation into a snarling, frothing, howling beast that will bite and tear and stand back, Raymond, or I shoot.
Dr. Pezin, by all that is holy, I swear that we are innocent.
Oh, yes, Francois, yes.
Have you no mercy?
I have only advice. There in the drawer, where you failed to find the hatchet, I left a knife.
A knife?
Oh, it's not sharp enough or strong enough to tear open the door or window bars. However, when the mad person attacks the healthy one, the knife will prove useful. Goodbye.
If we only knew which one of us it was.
Not me. He wouldn't have done it to me. He wants me. He wouldn't destroy me. It's you, Rene. He did it to you.
You're just saying that, Eve. You know in your heart it isn't true. Suspicion has turned his love for you into inhuman hatred. You're the one he'd want to destroy, not me. It's you he's infected. You.
First, just a general feeling of sickness, steadily growing worse.
General feeling of sickness. Deadly, growing worse. That's what he said.
What's that you're saying, Eve?
Rene, there's no longer any doubt about it. It was me that he infected.
No. It was me. Just as he said, the symptoms are unmistakable. Why should I lie to myself or you any longer? I'm the victim.
You're sure, Rene? You're positive?
Good to God that I weren't. A general feeling of sickness.
Next will come that awful crucifying thirst. That awful crucifying thirst.
Rene, where is the water jug?
It was right over here. Empty.
No.
That devil. He must have poured out all the water.
Poured out all the water. And I'm so thirsty. So horribly, terribly thirsty.
You are? Eve, you are? Then you must be the one.
Water. Water, get me water.
And then, the final stage. The transformation into a snarling, laughing, howling beast that will...
Why do you stand there looking at me, Rene? Water! I've got to have water!
There's nothing I can do, Eve. Nothing!
You've got to do something!
There in the drawer where you failed to find the hatchet, I left a knife.
Water! I've got to have water!
When the mad person attacks the healthy one, the knife will prove useful.
Rene! What are you doing with that rod?
Why, I...
Put down that knife, Rene! Put it away. Put it away, do you hear?
Eve, stay away from me, I warn you.
He's going to kill
me. Don't come a step closer.
Kill me.
If you
use
do,
the
I'll
knife.
Have to use this knife.
Get
we're locked
the
in
knife.
Here together, Eve, and there's nothing I can do but use this knife.
Help! Help! Oh!
Doctor, see, I come back. I come back.
Yes, Mallet, you come back.
Missus, where is she?
Where do you think she is? The home was Monsieur Bremont, where you took her.
Monsieur Bremont? No, no, doctor. Mallet not take missus anywhere. Mallet gets scared of dogs, run away and leave missus all alone in forest. Come back now to say very sorry.
Don't lie to me. You took her to Monsieur Bremont yesterday. Yes, sir, you had probably taken her many times before.
No, no.
Tell me, Mallard, no. How much did she pay you for keeping her secret?
Secret? What secret you talk about?
Don't taunt me about. You lying devil.
No.
It won't do any good. I found her with Monsieur Bremont.
Who is Monsieur Bremont? Mallard, not know.
If no. You say that once more, I'll flank you.
Huh?
The game is up. I've caught her with her lover and...
Mallet not know what you talk. Yesterday, Mrs. say go with her to village. On way, dog come. Mallet run. Leave Mrs. behind. Now, come back to say very sorry.
A very clever story, Mallet. Yeah. And who knows?
Yeah.
I might have been fool enough to believe it, if not for this.
Oh, you get letter.
Yes, a letter. Last night, while visiting Monsieur Bremont's lodge... I found it in a drawer hidden under a box of cartridges. It's in her own handwriting.
Doctor, what letter say?
I couldn't bear to read what my wife wrote to her lover. I haven't read it. But I will now. I'll read it now.
Mrs. is very good to Molly. Very good to Molly. Doctor, what is it? Why you...
Rene, everything that once was between us is forgotten and must forever remain that way. Please, I beg you, never come to see me. And if ever we chance to meet, remember I am Madame Pleasant and not the girl who... Oh, dear God! What have I done?
Doctor, where you go?
Quick, Mallet, come. Maybe there is yet time.
Let me out, for God's sake. Let me out of here.
Yes, yes. Quick, Mallet, help me get the door open.
Missus.
Dead.
How did you expect to find her?
So, you killed her?
Yes. I killed her. I was only your instrument. You gave her that monstrous disease.
Eve. Eve.
Look at her now. Your wife. Your beautiful young wife. You and your hypodermic needle. You made her into a frothing, howling, biting...
Listen to me. It's true. The blood is on my soul. She was not a victim of hydrophobia.
What?
All that about that hypodermic needle. I made it up. Neither you nor my wife was touched.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was The Thirsty Death, starring Bela Lugosi and John Carradine with Loreen Tuttle.
What's the matter, Ken? We didn't frighten you, did we?
Well, I'm afraid you did, Bela. That was pretty scary.
Oh, that was nothing.
Nothing?
No, wait till you hear next week's story. The Grand Guignol play about a woman who was buried alive. And my guest will be the beautiful and charming Simone Simon. Hope you and Your audience will join me next week at Mystery House.
Bela Lugosi is currently being starred in a series of Mystery House pictures at Universal Studios. You'll find Mystery House novels on sale at your local bookstore. John Carradine will soon be seen in the title role of Bluebeard. This is Ken Carpenter.
And that was me, Bela Lugosi, in Mystery House. Lisa Wolf. And that was called The Thirsty Death from July 3rd, 1944. And the person along with me in that was John Carradine. Yeah?
Are you looking for praise? You did a good job with
thank
that,
you
Carl.
Very, yeah, thanks a
that
lot,
was
Lisa.
Great,
thank
Carl,
you.
Yeah.
It's Mystery House. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio. I believe, Lisa, that we're going to be back here next Saturday and Sunday at our regular time, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. So
it's,
6 hours.
Pretty good bet this time.
And if so, I'm pretty sure we will be. We have Life with Luigi, Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and the Screen Director's Playhouse. And then on Sunday, that was Saturday, on Sunday, we're going to celebrate Veterans Day with an hour-long command performance presentation called Dick Tracy and B-Flat with a huge, huge cast of stars, including Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra and Dinah Shore, Jimmy Durante, Bob Hope. It's incredible. And then we have a Columbia Presents Corwin. So we have a great, great show lined up for you next week. And right now, we have Nick DiGilio in the studio. What's up, Nick?
Hey.
How are you?
All right. How are you?
Good, buddy. What's up on the show to this morning?
Movie reviews. Since we don't have a lot of movies to talk about, new movies to talk about, we're also, because today's Halloween, so we're also going to talk about Eric and Colin and myself. We're going to pick out some classic horror movies and some of our favorite movies to watch on Halloween.
Mm. Can I tell you mine?
Yeah.
My favorite scary movie is Night of the Living Dead.
The original.
The original.
Yeah.
Yeah. George Romero. Mm-hmm. Just I saw it when I was a little kid. You know, I was probably 12, 13.
I just saw it on the big screen 3 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I've seen it a million times. Yeah. I like Dawn is my favorite. Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, you like Dawn?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dawn's.
That's my favorite.
Dated
movie.
A girl named Dawn once.
Did you?
Yeah, she was kind of a horror story too.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, your dad going to call and tell
a joke?
He
will, yeah.
All right,
on.
Very cool.
Yep.
Well, stay tuned, everybody, for Nick DiGilio. He is up next.